Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. Always glad to be with you. 800-531-3815. I'm excited about our guest this half hour, Robert Stemple, former chairman of General Motors, now chairman of a company called Energy Conversion Devices. And I think Orvonix is another part of their name. And they're in the business of developing, manufacturing, and delivering alternative fuel systems. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Good morning to you.
It's good to have you back. Now, help me remember the name. Now, I know it's Energy Conversion Devices, but do you typically go by Orvonix?
Well, we brand under the name Orvonix.
Right.
And Orvonix is a contraction of our founder's name, Oshinsky, and combined with electronics. And that's
right.
How we get Orvonix. We brand our nickel metal hydride batteries that way and our storage systems that way.
You were on the show I think it was back in the spring, maybe last April or so, giving us an initial report on how the hybrid powered engines and automobiles were coming and some of the new alternative propulsion methods, battery operated and hydrogen powered engines. And I'd like for you to just kind of remind us about some of that, and then we'll talk about where things are going.
All right, great, Jim. We're in the midst of the International Auto Show here in Detroit. And it was interesting to see the number of new configurations on the floor, especially hybrid models, and the interest that the public seems to have in them. That's a far cry from just a few years ago when people were sort of asking, what are they?
Well, to stick a number in there, I'm sure you know this, but in a recent report that I received from our mutual friend Bob Dillenschneider, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, by the way, he reports that in 1999, the United States consumers bought 17 hybrid electric vehicles, and in 2002, 20,000 were sold.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic acceptance, and of course, this year we're going to see one of the first hybrids from the domestic automakers. Ford will have a version of their Escape SUV mm-hmm. with a four-cylinder gasoline engine, a small battery pack, an electric motor, and that SUV will get 40 miles per gallon in the city. So it's pretty exciting, and we're all looking forward to seeing that.
Right. Now, tell us about the way your company addresses the hybrid engines.
Well, basically, we're a support for the people that use hybrid engines, and what we do is we have battery power to assist the electric motor. We make nickel metal hydride batteries, and that basically is used by most hybrids today. We're just introducing a new production plant down in Springboro, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give us capacity when it's completed of almost a million batteries per year. And we believe firmly that the HEV is going to require that number of batteries simply because people are more and more aware of the fuel economy. They are concerned about the impact on the environment. And hybrids basically reduce exhaust emissions, improve fuel economy. And yet when you drive the vehicle, it's pretty transparent to the customer. It feels just
right?
Like a regular car.
So they're a lot more elegant in that way than they used to be, aren't they?
They sure are. As a matter of fact, that Escape I just mentioned has a four-cylinder engine, but it accelerates as fast as a V6.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you know, and one would have to wonder how geopolitics would change if we were less dependent upon foreign petroleum.
Well, as we mentioned during our last visit, we think that's a big factor, and we think it's very important that the automakers and the suppliers continue with this technology. If nothing else, to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. As you know, we have enough current gasoline and diesel-powered vehicles. It's going to be a long, long time before we really make a dent in that. But as the newer vehicles come on and we can reduce our consumption, it just gives us another option, another alternate, so that we're not dependent on a single-source fuel.
Now, your work, though, there at ECD is not just for batteries, is it?
No, that's right. We're actually developing from the hydride material hydrogen storage, where instead of storing it as a high-pressure gas, we store it as a solid very safely. and then that can be released either as fuel for an internal combustion engine, or in the long term, it'll feed a fuel cell. We also have a project involving fuel cells, and then, of course, in the renewable energy area, we have our photovoltaics, which converts sunlight to electricity. And so somebody said to me, well, you're in a number of different products. Well, they all are based on thin film materials, disordered materials. We make our own alloys, and from those materials, we get that product line.
This is very interesting to me, folks. I'm excited about what the progress is being made. Think about that number. 17 hybrid vehicles in 1999. 2002, there were 20,000 sold, and the projection is in 2003 that number will reach 40,000 sold just this year. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Robert Stemple, the chairman of Energy Conversion Devices. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I want to remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, John Fox is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the president's tax policy, his tax proposal, I should say. And John is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, and we're going to talk about John's thoughts on the tax proposal that the president has made, and he's probably not going to like it, so we'll probably have a little counterpoint there. And then after that, I propose that George Bush is in one of the most, actually maybe the most unique position as the leader of the world's only superpower of any other human being in the world. And I'm going to flesh that out with our good friend Bert Folsom, our resident historian. He's going to compare Bush's position now against some of the other world leaders in the past, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour. Robert Stemple is our guest. He's the chairman of Energy Conversion Devices and formerly the chairman of General Motors, and we're talking about the future of automobiles. Maybe actually, you call it, Bob, in a speech that you made recently in Detroit there, you called it the hydrogen age.
Yeah,
tell us what that means.
That's right. We are starting to see the move now to what we call the hydrogen economy, where more and more we're going to see hydrogen used. We mentioned the hybrid vehicle, the HEVs, and they're powered by nickel metal hydride batteries. And hydride means containing hydrogen, so you're already starting to see them show up. And then, of course, there are several proposals. Ford has just introduced their U model. And the U model is powered with an internal combustion engine, but the fuel is hydrogen.
Huh.
And the exhaust is simply water. And BMW has demonstrated a fleet of cars operating on hydrogen. And so there's some very serious conversation about making that a transition to finally a fuel cell many years down the road, but it's started.
Is ECD involved in the hydrogen fuel business at all?
Well, we're involved in the sense that we provide materials to store the hydrogen. Fuel providers will probably be the oil companies and energy companies. We can derive hydrogen from oil. You can derive it from natural gas. And, of course, the ultimate source is to the electrolysis of water, where we break hydrogen into H and oxygen,
mm-hmm.
and we use the hydrogen. You may recall from Jules Verne, he talked about the ultimate fuel was water. And when people
right.
questioned him on that, he said, well, it's composed of H2O, and I propose we take the H and use it.
Hmm. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to be the most give us the timeline and the application, the applications that we'll use. And as we, let's say that 50 years from now that nobody's burning any gasoline anymore, and will we go, obviously we started out with electric vehicles that are battery operated. Give us the evolution of the engines and how they're fueled.
When you mention the electric vehicle, the thing that really happened a few years ago, we did some electric vehicles, we were able to show that with the new computer controls and solid-state electronics, we could make electric vehicles efficient. Before that time, and you go back to the early days of the automobile, everything was electromechanical. We had switches and we had arcing and so
right.
on, lots of sparks.
Mm-hmm.
All those sparks were inefficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got to the solid-state controls, people said, aha, now we can really do something with this. That led to the hybrid. The important thing about this vehicle is it gets the electric motor on the car, and That means as you go forward and we rely less on the internal combustion engine and we go towards fuel cell vehicles, we'll already have the motor and the controls worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the key to this. Now, this year, we've just started in the very early stages of the fuel cell. We've got some demonstration vehicles in Japan. FedEx is running a General Motors delivery van powered by a fuel cell. Toyota's got some cars. But these are ones and twos and ten. Very, very early stages. The fuel cell is still very expensive. It uses some very scarce materials, so we have some materials problems to overcome, but it's in the beginning stages. So as we get down the road, we'll see more and more of that application.
The good news, though, is this is not just an article in Popular Science.
No, the good
this
news...
This isn't a Jules Verne novel. This is really happening, isn't it?
That's right, Jim. If you were here, we could take you downtown, and there's a number of cars and trucks that you could get into and drive.
Yeah.
You could take it on a trip if you want to. In fact, the engineers are driving them daily. And so it's gone from paper and words and theory to application. We're in the prototype stage very early, but they're underway. And, of course, the good news is that this year people will be able to buy hybrids if they'd like one and actually experience a combination of gas and electric drive for themselves.
What's the waiting time? Are they sitting on the showroom floors, or are they, we have to wait on them, we have to order them?
No, there's generally pretty good availability, as you can imagine. This is a new technology. It's different than what people have in their garage today. So
right.
There's a little bit, well, let me see how it goes. We've got some other people, though, that it seemed to be first with whether it's a new computer or a new handheld device or something, tend to like new things, and many of those folks are really interested in trying out a hybrid.
Well, now, what about with electric? We obviously, with an electric engine, we know that we plug up to the wall.
Well,
but with the fuel cells and with the hydrogen engine, there's a fueling issue, isn't there?
Well, when we look at the electric car, the pure electric, yes, you do have to plug it in to recharge. But all of the hybrids being offered commercially this year don't plug in. There's enough charging capability from the gasoline engine that it takes care of itself. So you just put a little gas in the tank from time to time, and it does the charging and so forth.
So the generator of the motor charges the battery?
That's right. You have a motor that can drive, an electric motor that can drive the car, and when you coast, it reverses itself and becomes a generator and puts charge back into the battery.
Wow, and that's pretty efficient that way.
Yes, it is.
Now, see, I didn't know that. That's news to me, folks. Might be to you. Tintil, we're going to be right back with Robert Stemple, the chairman of Energy Conversion Devices. And when we come back, we're going to talk about performance and style. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Robert Stemple is our guest. He's the former chairman of General Motors. He's the current chairman of Energy Conversion Devices in Rochester Hills, Michigan. He's the one of the guys who's leading the charge up there in this really innovative company to create some new opportunities for in a lot of ways. And Bob, on behalf of the world, I want to take my hat off to you and to your compatriots up there for the good work you're doing. I think you're doing some work that I think you can look back one day and say, you know what, that was pretty important.
Well, we think it is. We believe we can make a difference. We're convinced that if this automobile business is going to continue to grow, we're going to have to take the automobile out of the atmospheric change problem, take it away from the pollution problem, and get it much cleaner. And I'm not saying that as a do-gooder. It's just a practical reality. As more countries motorize and you put more into the atmosphere, we've got to fix that. So,
well, especially, what if we could take all those two-cycle engines over in Asia and put an electric motor on them? I mean, think about or a hydrogen motor on them. I mean, there's a whole brown cloud issue building up over there for a lot of different reasons. That's pretty serious, and we'll talk about that another day.
Let me just mention on that we're working with the government of India on replacing the two-cycle scooter with a hydrogen-powered scooter. Uses an engine, keeps the manufacturing very, very similar. But with hydrogen, the only exhaust is water, and that really cleans it up.
Think about what that would do. And, folks, I mean, if you haven't paid attention to this, Asia has a serious problem right now with pollution, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The major metropolitan areas are really tough during the height of food hours and so forth.
Well, and it's not just a local issue. I mean, it's becoming a global issue there with all those two-cycle engines, which about 25% of the emissions are raw fuel a lot of times.
What goes around comes around. Remember, just because it happens to be in India or Taiwan, we have the same atmosphere all around the globe.
Well, don't forget which way the atmosphere is moving, too. Bob, before we go any further, I want to make sure we let people know how they can contact you. Folks, here's the website. It's www.ovonic.com. If you want to find out more about, what kind of power is going to be propelling your vehicle sometime in the next 20 years, if you're one of the last holdouts, go to ovonic.com. You'll find out more about Bob and his folks there, the people who founded that organization. And there's a lot of great information there on speeches that Bob and others have given and comments others have made about what they're doing. So if you want to get educated on the future of power for not just automobiles, but other buildings and different systems that we've got in our life, then go to ovonic.com and you'll find out more about that. Bob, let's talk about style and power for just a minute. You and I grew up in an age when style was everything, and the first thing a guy did when he bought a car was to raise the hood and look at the motor. We don't even look at the motors anymore.
Oh, some people don't even know where the hood latch is.
Well, or maybe even where the motor is. Is it in the front or the back?
Yeah, it used to be in one direction and used to point towards the rear. Now it may point sideways or even be horizontal.
That's right. Are cars are looking more like eggs every day. Are we going to stay in that trend?
No, I was really delighted at this year's auto show to see the styling trends and the future concept cars. In addition to pure aerodynamic round shapes, we had several that really had styling cues, very bold fenders. There were no fins like that, but it was all functional styling, but they were different. You didn't have one car looking like each other car. And very, very distinctive. We were very excited to see, for example, the concept GTO car come back.
Really?
With where the GTO might have been had they continued it.
Huh.
And so it was a, not retro, but sort of a and where are we going?
You talking about the Pontiac GTO?
Yes.
Wow.
And then we had Cadillac showed a 16-cylinder engine, which they haven't had since the 30s.
Yeah.
1,000 horsepower. You don't need that every day to go to work. But the concept was, how would you style a car around that to show that it was powerful and had a very long hood, very elegant car?
Bob, I've only got about 30, 40 seconds. Before we go, these new cars the motors of which you're working on, are they? What about pickup? Are they going to get off? Do they get off the dime?
One thing about electric powered cars, Jim, is they've got plenty of acceleration because you get maximum torque at zero RPM. And boy, I'll tell you,
wow,
they can really go like sick. Most of the hybrids accelerate as well as a bigger internal combustion engine car because of the torque of the electric motor.
You know, the next time I go buy a new car, I'm gonna check these out and I'm gonna see if I can drive one just to see what it's like. I've never driven one, but I'm looking forward to it. Bob, we got to go, but when you come back next time, you're going to tell us what you think the future of the automobile industry is, right?
Well, if you ask me, Jim, sure.
You're being asked right now. I want you to come back and do that sometime.
All right, great. Great to
Thank
be
you.
With you.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Good visit today. Robert Stemple, ladies and gentlemen, with Energy Conversion Devices. That's ovonic.com. Check that out when you get a chance. Very interesting stuff. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.